This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Do the Rangers have a true star in the 2020 season? 877-881-1053. Baseball starts Thursday. The Rangers open up Friday. Right here on The Fan, we can celebrate the fact that baseball is back. Huzzah. But this started with a discussion that you and I had, Corey. I think it was on Friday. Maybe it was about Corey Kluber. Maybe it was about what Bassick's opening up. It could have been whatever. And we all heard it. But I don't think that the Rangers do have a star for this season. What do you think?
Mike, go ahead with this.
Either one can answer.
Yeah, I think Joey Gallo was the only person we could think of.
And I think he's not a star.
I don't know.
Well, if you look at everything that they produce on ESPN or MLB Network or anything, they don't use a Ranger. Doesn't matter. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, they never do. Yeah. Wasn't it Bannister that always got upset about how the national media, you know, didn't really pay much attention to the Rangers anyway. Kevin, I don't know that there's a guy other than Gallo that has the potential to be either.
And now that was going to be my next curiosity. And do you care about that? Because stars aren't necessarily always the best players. You know, we talked about, if you asked most people who aren't like baseball fans, they might tell you Bryce Harper is the best player in baseball. And I don't think that at all. But that kid is definitely a star. So it doesn't always mean you're automatically the best. I know he's good, but he ain't the best.
No, but it's very tough to win if you look at the best teams in baseball without having this unbelievable lineup. You can go back to the 2010 or 2011 Texas Rangers, where you're having 5 to 7 all-stars on your team in one season. If you look at, I was watching the Dodgers last night. I mean, it's just all-star after all-star coming up to the plate in their lineup, or, you know, the potential to be a superstar. Like, Corey Seager's not a superstar. He was built to be one, but he's been hurt for a lot of his early part of his career. But if Corey Seager's healthy for 60 games or healthy for 150 games, that's a shortstop who can put up 35 homers and 100 RBIs. We don't really have that right now. We're hoping maybe Josh Young can be that. I don't know if Leody Taveras is going to be a guy that puts up really all-star offensive numbers. We're hoping, from what I understand, he can be a really good defensive player that puts up solid numbers from the center field position in the future. But we right now have one guy that looks like he could be a superstar guy in Josh Young, and we're still a ways away from that. So it doesn't look great for now, and it doesn't look great for the near future that the Rangers have Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. that are about to come up to the major leagues the way Toronto had last year.
I will say this, Kevin. I think if Mike Minor keeps putting out "Ask Me If I Care" Pete tweets, then he'll become a star in a matter of no time.
I feel like he'd become a fan favorite. Like, because this is the thing. Let's look the other direction in this. Who was the last star that the Rangers had? Because, like, this is
Beltre?
Something. Would we consider Beltre a star in that way?
I would. I thought Beltre was a star. I thought people across the league referenced him. I thought they appreciated him, and he had the bona fides to back it up. But if y'all disagree,
the way that I would say that he was is when I talked to my buddy AJ Hinch about Adrian Beltre in 2015, 2016. He was it, right? I mean, he was the guy. He's like, we're just praying that in a situation where we have a chance to beat the Rangers, that Adrian Beltre doesn't come up, because it feels like and seems like every time Beltre came up against us, I'm talking from the Houston Astros perspective in 15 and 16, he would always get a big hit in a big situation, and we'd always lose to the Rangers because freaking Beltre would always put us in a bad situation.
Darvish.
Oh, that's yeah. who I thought
Darvish
of.
Was a star. That's a good point.
And not necessarily like based on credentials, but you know, he was an international star for one, and there was a lot of intrigue about his game and everything else, you know, what he could do.
He seemed to have that it factor too, man. People just wanted to talk about him.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and so I would say that was the last real star we had. As much as I love Beltre. And I'm trying to think
A little bit of Cole Hamels, as I keep thinking of this. When we traded for Cole Hamels and then he came on and he led us somewhat to winning the division when we were a 500 team, traded for, and then pitched us into the playoffs. Cole Hamels was kind of on that because he had been a champion and done great things with Philadelphia. But right now, no, nobody in the rotation, nobody in the lineup right now is considered superstar status, and probably Gallo is the only one that I think can reach that right now.
Let's go back to the rotation real quick before we move back to Gallo. From the 4-6-9, y'all must have really given up on Kluber. That's a thing about him, for whatever reason. It's sometimes hard to define who a star is. I don't necessarily remember the whole world talking about Corey Kluber, even when he was winning Cy Youngs.
Locally, we did, because he's a Coppell guy, right?
Yeah.
So I know locally a lot of people were excited about him and what he was doing in Cleveland and everything. But you're right. Like, kind of Cliff Lee just kind of jumped up out of nowhere to become a star for us. Like, I know people thought he was a great pitcher and everything, but for him to just it was kind of an out of nowhere kind of thing. Kluber's been a good pitcher for a long time, but maybe the market in Cleveland wasn't it for
him? Well, I would say he was superstar because when we got to the playoffs, right, Cleveland isn't followed nationally that hard, but when Cleveland would get to the playoffs and they were regularly in the playoffs with Corey Kluber, we knew if Corey Kluber's on, he can beat anybody in Major League Baseball, no matter the lineup, no matter who he's pitching against. So I would say in his prime, when Cleveland was making the playoffs and made the World Series, we knew who Corey Kluber was, and we knew he was one of the best in the game.
Now, I honestly cannot believe it took this long for somebody to mention this name. There's only one text about this player so far, and I think that answers the question.
Profar's not with the Rangers
not
anymore.
Not Profar. Oh. From the 817. Do we not think Elvis is or has been a star? I don't. I do not think he has ever been at that level. And if not, why?
He was. I think during the World Series, he was a beacon for the Rangers. But that club had so many different, you know, I mean, talents. He was just the young up-and-coming kid on this team.
Yeah, I think in 2009, 2010, Corey, you're making a great point, is there was a lot of expectations on Elvis that, look, he didn't reach, and was it fair that we put on him that he can be a 20 to 30 home run guy? Because his body and everything at 19, 20 years old, when we saw him play minor league baseball and then come up in 09 as, you know, just a teenager, 21, 20-year-old, somewhere around there, is that body's going to hit 20 to 25 home runs. You know where I've seen this before? I've seen it in a young catcher named Pudge Rodriguez, and he never took the steps that Pudge did in his development as a player. It doesn't mean he's not a good Major League Baseball player, but he became a solid starting shortstop in the major leagues, but he never got to the status of, when you're talking about perennial all-stars at the shortstop position, and we've gone over this a couple weeks ago, a good shortstop now hits 30 home runs, has close to 80 to 100 RBIs, and scores 100-plus runs. That's what shortstops do now. Look at Trevor Story and Francisco Lindor and Javi Baez, and you can keep going down the list of 10 guys who are 30 home run guys in a regular season. And Elvis, just 1 year in his career, he was kind of at that status.
How much of star making is simply just like exposure on a national level that you get simply by being on a team that is like some level of good?
Okay.
Any level of good.
Now, I would call that the Derek Jeter
He's just a guy.
Looking at it, I think Derek Jeter is a good player. I also think Derek Jeter is one of the most overrated baseball players in the history of the game.
Right there with you.
Some people will be like, "Oh, he's one of the best of all time."
Doesn't he have like the fifth or sixth most hits in Major League Baseball history?
Because he's a compiler. How many times did he win an MVP? Zero. There was never one single year where anybody thought he was the best player in baseball. He was not a good defender either. They eventually gave him a gold glove because they felt sorry for him. Look, I get it. Was he clutch? Was he a good leader? Yeah. Am I here to say he's not a Hall of Famer? No. But some people are like, oh, he's the best Yankee of all time. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. He's the best baseball player of all time. That might be the dumbest sports opinion I've ever heard. He is a good player who got taken to this mythical status because he played for the almighty Yankees. And so that's an example of somebody who I think was good. But if you put him in Tampa or whatever, he's a good player who we all forget about.
But even then, like even with the folks that are good or really good, there needs to be some level of exposure, right?
Yeah, like Mike Trout seems to kind of defy this and that everybody knows who he is because he's so good.
He's only one of, like, probably the top 10 baseball players of all time.
And he's in Los Angeles. So it's not like he's playing in a nothing market. Like, he is in a big market. I just think if he, like, marketed himself, he would be freaking huge.
I do think Reggie has a point that if you are on one of those Texas Ranger-like teams, I hate putting our team in this category, but they are. I remember playing a game with Gavin Dawson, and I thought it was going to be an easy answer, but, you know, you just forget if you're not really following, especially if you're here, you're going to follow somewhat the Rangers, which means they're going to play mostly American League teams. And when I brought up the name in a trivia thing of Paul Goldschmidt, thinking, well, this is one of the three best or four best Arizona Diamondbacks in their history, and I know they don't have a long history, but I was like, well, this is – but I think for people that just follow the Rangers and kind of just follow their division somewhat because you're going to see those opponents, you might not know who Paul Goldschmidt is. And to, I think, Reggie's point, if you're an Arizona Diamondback fan, I bet if I asked an Arizona Diamondback fan right now that's kind of more of just a Diamondback fan who they're going to play in the second series of the year, if I said, name four Texas Rangers, I don't care if they're position players or pitchers, I think Arizona Diamondback fans would struggle to name four 2020 or 2019 Texas Rangers.
I agree. And how many Arizona Diamondbacks can you name, Kevin?
Just the one that Mike said.
Okay, all right.
And he's not even on the team anymore. So no.
Marte, I think I got that.
They have two
one.
Martes.
Yeah. All right, I got
if
two.
You just
Bam.
Say Marte, you hit two of them already.
Sterling Marte. How about that?
And Kendall.
And Kendall Marte.
I think it's Kendall. He's an all-star. He's really good.
I have really become enamored with this. By the way, a lot of people are jumping in, and then somebody goes, Larry Fitzgerald never won an MVP. You're losing credibility. What a dumb argument that is. Sorry to call that person out. Nobody thinks Larry Fitzgerald is the greatest NFL player of all time. Plus, guess what? NFL doesn't give MVPs to wide receivers. I'm really curious, how many all-time great players never won an MVP?
I hear that argument, and maybe I'm going to sound dumb here, Kevin, but I do think Derek Jeter's the greatest shortstop of all time.
It feels like we're factoring a lot of mythology into that to make that statement.
But that's my feeling. I'm not telling you it's factual. I know that, like, is whoever's the greatest of all time at something. I know Omar Vizquel, you know, obviously defensively, those are the two greatest defensive players I've ever seen. And obviously defense means absolutely nothing to voters. But I just think overall, and maybe I'm totally wrong on that. I'm not telling you I'm right, Kevin, but in my mind, if I hear Derek Jeter, I think, and I could be totally wrong. And
you think he's better than Ripken? Just for you personally, I know you love Ripken.
I don't. Obviously, one of my sons is named Cal after Cal Ripken Jr.
What?
I do think overall Derek Jeter is the – and it does help out a lot. I'm not going to disagree with this. It helps out a lot that he was on the Yankees and then was part of a new dynasty that they have. But, you know, that's just my opinion. I know that I worked with G-Bag Nation and I work with you guys, and I know that – I am on an island by myself on that because I know Jeff and Gavin feel the same way that you feel about Derek Jeter. So
I'll take Ernie Banks ahead of him all day.
Oh, you know what? That's a really good call.
From Dallas,
Texas, too.
Somebody sent this to me the other day. They texted me and told me this information. I didn't believe it. Just went and looked it up. Larry Fitzgerald has 39 career tackles.
More than his drops, yeah.
In his career. He has 29 career drops on 2,200 targets.
We did that on the show a while back. Oh, amazing God. Sports factoids.
I didn't
Doesn't
know.
That also speak to the terribleness of his quarterback that he had to be brought into action so many times to
for
tackle
so many
people?
Tackles. I've always thought that Derek Jeter, Mike, for me, was right place, right time. Like he was a good player, and he was always at the plate at the right time. His team was good enough to always be in position to be on that spotlight and that stage. And so, you know, I always felt this, and I think we've actually
had a kid
had
help
discussion.
Him hit a big home run against the Orioles, right? He hit a fly ball to right field. It was a home
he has
run.
The most overrated defensive play of all time. That ball was going to get there in time for that kid to be out anyway at the plate.
Do you think that he sent that kid a basket? I think if Michael Young would have had some of the opportunities that Jeter had, he would have stepped up in those opportunities as well. Because I think that Michael Young's that kind of guy, just didn't have the same opportunities.
I'm not going to disagree with you with that. I think you guys make valid points. I'm just telling you my feeling on Jeter, and I could be. I mean, there might be 90% of the audience right now that says I'm crazy, and I'm not going to say that you're not crazy. I just, when I hear Jeter, I think best shortstop I've ever seen.
And then we get this from the 817. Could be my favorite text of the day so far. I'll take Honus Wagner. I watched him play. That kid was a stud.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.